We are Rogue Media Sports.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Doomsday podcast brought to you by Marable Homes. My goodness, we love Marable Homes, custom homes in Lake Highlands, Preston Hollow. Beautiful, beautiful homes. We'll talk more about that as the show unfolds. But Ed Werder and I have, both of us were just talking to Jerry Jones, and then Ed stayed down there and visited with Dak Prescott while I talked to Deron Bland, the defensive hero of the evening, as well as Damon Clark. So it was great to be at the stadium tonight. You'll hear from Stretch. I think as what has been going on for about a month now, it took about, what, one question before, because it was such a blowout, 54-19, the Cowboys, to get into the Odell Beckham Jr. And a big part of that is because he's arriving in Dallas. And Jerry didn't know if he was in there this evening or was getting there in the morning, but the visit will start tomorrow. So we can finally, all this speculation, all this talk, OBJ, his visit to the Cowboys begins tomorrow, Ed.
And it seems like it's going to encompass most of the next 2 days. The Cowboys obviously putting on a show. You almost look at the scoreboard and it's 54-19. And you're wondering, why do they even need Odell Beckham Jr.? And then you look a little more closely and you see, well, Dak Prescott only threw for 170 yards in the game. And he went 1 for 8 for 22 yards on throws of more than 10 yards down the field. So obviously there's a lot more potential in the passing game, if they get a better group of receivers. Whether that would be Odell Beckham Jr. remains to be determined. You know, he clearly wants a multi-year contract. Jerry was emphatic after the game tonight that this has to be something big for this year. Jerry wants a big performance, big production out of him from this point forward. And, you know, he's visited Buffalo and he's visited the Giants. I've talked to a couple people with those other teams that he's interested in, and one of them said, look, you'd want to get him for at least the last 3 or 4 regular season games and then the postseason. And the question the Cowboys have to answer is, based on the financial investment they're being asked to make, is he going to be healthy enough coming off his second ACL surgery? And he was injured 2 weeks after Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup is just now getting back to being a highly productive receiver again. Is he going to make that kind of contribution to justify a multi-year contract, the kind of deal they didn't want to give Amari Cooper when the season started?
That is exactly right. And you have to think that because of the injury concern, maybe they'll protect themselves somehow, but the Cowboys don't often, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much of a discount they're going to get on Odell Beckham Jr. And so Jerry discussed his sort of how comfortable he can be with risk taking, which we know he has a lot of latitude in that area. All right. More to come on this, including some updates on Tyron Smith and in his potential return soon to this Cowboys starting lineup. But before we do that, Frito, please play the music. is the Doomsday Podcast. And just so you know kind of where we are, Ed and I have just worked the locker room and worked the Jerry. Ed, how much would you speculate after these games? How many people are around Jerry? Would it be 40 people, something like that, counting the cameras?
Mike McCarthy won his 152nd game tonight, tying Sean Payton for, I think, 22nd in the NFL. And he mostly spoke to an empty room because he's competing with Jerry Jones standing outside the locker room in the hours before Odell Beckham Jr. visits. And so Mike McCarthy is up against it from an audience point of view. And it's always been that way for the Cowboys head coach. But Mike seems to handle it pretty well. I think there were some players who were frustrated about some of the things that Jerry said during his press conference after the game was over, primarily in explaining why it was that Ezekiel Elliott, for the first time in the 97 games he's played in the NFL, did not start. Tony Pollard started at running back, and Elliott sat out the first six plays, and Jerry revealed it was because of a disciplinary action taken by the coaching staff. So I don't know that Mike McCarthy was even asked about it. Jerry said it was not a major situation, and you have to be concerned about that because of Zeke's, you know, history of being suspended by the league. It's nothing of that magnitude, apparently. And a few of us did wait out Elliott in the locker room and try to ask him to give us some details and insight. He chose not to. He just said the coaching staff decided to mix it up with him and Tony Pollard and to do it a different way, with Pollard starting the game. But I don't think that's true. I believe what Jerry said is accurate, that there was some disciplinary action involved based on his performance in a team meeting or something this week. I'm not sure whether we'll ever get the details, but that's why Tony Pollard started the game. A lot of people say that's justified based on performance. And it's what a lot of people have wanted. But that's the reason he started tonight. And both were obviously productive in their normal roles eventually.
And Ed, as only Jerry could, he almost sort of questioned the decision, basically saying that maybe he wouldn't have done that if it were up to him. He would have let it slide. And he brought up something about him being tardy to a meeting, but I don't know.
Or his phone going off or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think he gave several options there. So that was kind of interesting. Both backs, Pollard runs for 91 yards. I believe 77 yards on 17 carries for Zeke. So you get 168 yards from those two, and then throw in about 22 more yards on those jet sweeps. Ed,
but I would say this, kind of adding a little context to Tony Pollard's performance tonight. You know, he had another 30-yard touchdown running. Now has 5 touchdowns of 30 or more yards this season. That's the most in a season by a Cowboys running back in history. He broke a tie with Ezekiel Elliott in 2016 and Tony Dorsett in 1985. So what Tony Pollard is doing continues to be special. And maybe they wouldn't have disciplined Ezekiel Elliott if this had happened in 2016 when he was leading the NFL in rushing. But now that they have a back who is maybe more talented and certainly more productive, they don't mind slapping Ezekiel Elliott's hand when the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, and then at some point Malik came in there and ran wild late in the game. So you got to look at a third running back there.
Three different running backs scored in the game. Yeah,
Malik Davis goes rolling into the end zone. It is the Doomsday Podcast, and we've got a lot in store for you, Ed. But while we're kind of dealing with some of the newsy stuff that came out, and then again, that's one of the things that separates us from some of the podcasts out there. We're outside the locker room. We're in there. We're talking to all the people after these games. And so we're always happy to share some of that insight with you. Ed, Jerry did share, and I think there were some reports that were out there, including yours, that we knew Tyron Smith was close. It does look like this week he will return to the practice field, and that will open like a 3-week 21-day period,
window.
A 21-day window. But Jerry wanted to make sure we kind of understood that, hey, listen, he could he could play next week. I don't think he will, but I mean, who knows? Maybe they could target the against Philadelphia. I mean, I don't know exactly what they'll target in terms of when he steps in, but Ed, you had a tweet sort of detailing some of what they're trying to prepare for. You saw Peters getting in there. You saw, you saw the rookie move
Tyler
in
Smith.
And play Tyler Smith play some left guard. And so I do think they're starting to do some things in preparation of Tyron Smith returning to this lineup.
And it's really a strange thing to be like, most teams want to keep that offensive line continuity and their best five players out there consistently. And for the last couple of weeks, as Tyron Smith has, you know, improved in his workouts, and they see that eventually he's going to return to the team and they want him at left tackle, they've begun to mix it up a little bit and take a couple series and devote them to, you know, Tyler Smith moving inside to left guard, which is where they expected him to play this entire rookie season. The fact that he's gone outside and played left tackle and started every game is remarkable, given how well he's played. But they've certainly given away some offensive series in the past 2 weeks to this preparation for Tyron Smith to come back. And Jerry Jones said tonight, and you were there, you heard him, he actually shared that this is the biggest thing that's going to happen to the Cowboys going forward. That getting Tyron Smith back at left tackle and moving Tyler Smith into left guard is going to be bigger than getting Odell Beckham Jr. if they get Odell Beckham Jr. That's the magnitude and the respect that Tyron Smith has created in this organization for what he brings to the left tackle position. And I assume they're not going to be experimenting with it when they play Philadelphia, which the Eagles are 11-1, have already beaten the Cowboys. They're going to be ready to play their best five guys the rest of the game. So they've got two games, these next two games against two losing teams from the AFC South, which is where the Colts are from. What is it? Houston next week here, and then a new start at Jacksonville. Those two teams are like 5-18-1. So any experimenting they're going to do is going to be in those two games. So I expect Tyron Smith to come back for one of those two games for them to begin working this out.
All right, Ed Werder and I on the scene. Thanks to the Nation family, Jim and Sally Nation, for providing our set tonight as we come to you from the suite area. And, boy, you can hear things still happening in the stadium here as everybody's trying to clean up around us here, Ed, as we tape the Doomsday podcast. Real quick, Marable Holmes, wanted to say more on that. And Blake Marable, who's a great friend of mine, the owner of that company, was at the Mavs-Knicks game at Madison Square Garden the other day. His son, Burson, is an awesome kid who has fought cancer over the last couple of years, and Burson has come through it like a champ. So really, really special kid who's a great hooper, and got to, Ed, after the Knicks-Mavs game the other day, got to knock down a few shots and really – hit some shots from the top of the key. In fact, hit more shots than the Knicks did in that game. Family-owned, custom home builder, Timeless Classic Homes in the Dallas area. It's a great team equipped to handle luxury, residential, new construction. And sometimes you hear about construction companies, and you're like, it kind of ebbs and flows. I'm telling you, man, they have found a sweet spot, and people are loving them. And a lot of it's word of mouth. I'm hoping some of it's through the Doomsday podcast. But quite honestly, one of the great things about it, after they're finished, people always like remain great friends with them. Like they create a relationship where it's not like, oh gosh, I can't get a hold of these people. And by the way, all their subs and the people they use are tremendous friends. They have like Bible studies. I mean, Ed, this is the real deal as things are just falling all around us out here. The website is marablehomes.com. It's M-A-R-A-B-L-E homes.com, and on Twitter at Marable Homes. And Ed, from what we can tell, Twitter continues to move on. And there's all kinds of stories going around, but it seems to be doing okay. And you and I were very active on Twitter this evening, and I was making my jokes. You were actually taking it seriously as usual. Now, Ed, we'll get to Glenn Stretch Smith in a moment. Tonight, from an overall game standpoint, we've handled some of the news associated with this game. This is a lot like what the Cowboys have been, especially at home. Kind of goof around in the first half, let a team hang around. They were fortunate to put up some points at the end to make it 21-13. But, Ed, even though this game ends 54-19, it was the Colts were down there going for two to try to make it 21-21 with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the third quarter. So doesn't it feel like a lot of the games that have been here at AT&T Stadium this year are just like this? A team kind of hangs around, and then the Cowboys run away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, under Jason Garrett, obviously this team had a reputation for playing to the level of its competition, good or bad. And I was getting that sense tonight about this team, that they were letting this Colts team, you know, hang around for a dangerously long period of time. And then you look at the numbers. I mean, 54-19, this is the third 50-point game the Cowboys have had in the last 2 years. The rest of the league has combined for three of those games in that time period. And Dak's been back. This was his sixth start since that thumb surgery. They've scored 199 points in their last five games. That's the most in any five-game span in franchise history. Their eighth game with 40-plus points since the start of last season. That's two more than any other team in the league, including the Chiefs and the Bills and the Bengals. And so, but I think it's a little bit misleading because it was really the defense that set all that up tonight, especially in the fourth quarter. They had four takeaways in the fourth quarter. They've done that twice this year. They did the same thing against the Lions, which is another example of what you were talking about. They had 33 points off turnovers tonight. So Dan Quinn's defense continues to be the dominant phase for this football team. And Dak Prescott mentioned it again, as he has the last couple of weeks. He's kind of admitted, I know that if we don't mess it up on offense with turnovers and put them in bad positions, that they're going to put us in a position to win the game. And that's ultimately what happened. It just took into the fourth quarter before they asserted their dominance, which I thought was inevitable. I mean, the Cowboys lead the NFL in sacks coming into the game. Matt Ryan's, the Colts have given up the most sacks in the NFL. Matt Ryan's totally overmatched. He can't move. He has no place to go with the ball quickly. Their offensive line, despite being highly paid, has badly underperformed. And that's been the most disappointing aspect of the entire team, if you talk to Jeff Saturday or Chris Ballard or anybody associated with the Colts. And so I thought it was just a matter of time before Dan Quinn was going to do some really awful things to the quarterback who was his Super Bowl partner back with the Atlanta Falcons. And that's exactly what wound up happening in the fourth quarter. 33 points in the fourth quarter, 33-0. They outscored the Colts in the fourth quarter. It's almost historic. That's happened very few times that the team has been that badly outscored in a fourth quarter.
And it really is kind of amazing when you think of it like that. Now we'll get to Glenn Stretch Smith with his stretch plays here in a second. Ed, one of the things he's concerned about is there are some things Dak does that worries him. Now, there are a couple of throws behind tonight. You know, they almost had an interception. Number 34 for the Colts had one, almost had one. Gilmore did get the interception on a pass to Gallup. I mean, some of these passes are a bit of a struggle. He ends up with three touchdowns, throws for 170 yards, and as we talked about with some of the folks after the game, in fact, including Jerry, passes. Some really good. I mean, Roger Staubach
And Danny White both tonight.
Yeah, Danny White. I saw Danny actually at the game tonight because was calling the game for one of the networks. But it's really interesting that as he does so many things well, like sometimes he'll be down in the red zone and he's rolling out. There's a scramble drill that he hit, I believe that was Gallup on. I mean, and then still, some of those interceptions are real head scratchers. And I, again, they won 54-19. So it sounds a little crazy, but to complain about these things. But Ed, it's, I mean, it's something that's worth examining, that when this game was still kind of in doubt, there were some shaky throws, I would say, from Dak Prescott in this game.
Well, the good thing for him, like he said, was the defense, you know, when he threw the pick to Stephon Gilmore, who's one of the best corners in football, and did a great job of cutting off Gallup on his route. And Dak was anticipating where Gallup was going to be, that he was going to, you know, run across the face of Gilmore. And he wasn't able to do that because Gilmore cut him off and was physical with him and didn't a flag wasn't thrown. His throw for CeeDee Lamb that appeared to be intercepted, but was ruled an incompletion that it hit the ground. That was a poor throw. And Dak mentioned that after the game. It was kind of funny. Dak was at the podium after the game and he was talking about, hey, I don't really care, you know, how many yards I throw for or whatever. And he said, I don't even know what I threw for. And Scott Agolnick, one of the assistant PR directors off to the side, said 170 yards. And Dak goes, 170 yards. That's it. it was a really funny moment in his press conference. But yeah, I mean, it does seem kind of ridiculous that they scored 54 points. They blow out a bad team at home. They've won what, 5 of the 6 starts Dak's made. They're the highest scoring team in the league. And yet, you know, we're nitpicking or we're criticizing a number of throws and some interceptions. But, and I think part of that is, I think the front office is recognizing their part in that. That, hey, we compromised our quarterback in our passing game because we decided we didn't want to pay $20 million for our number one receiver, Amari Cooper. We let him go for nothing. We picked Jalen Tolbert in the third round. He's done nothing. We didn't expect that. We've left our quarterback out here with 4 tight ends and no explosive players on the field in the passing game. We're not enough. You know, as Michael Gallup's come back, CeeDee Lamb has kind of asserted himself, I think, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks. But that, I think that's the reason. That's an admission. The pursuit of Odell Beckham Jr., while noble, and it's the front office trying to do something to seize this opportunity in the NFC with Aaron Rodgers not going to be a factor in the playoffs and Tom Brady not, you know, being Tom Brady. It's also an admission of failure by them that they put their quarterback in a bad situation with a poor front office decision to get rid of their number one receiver and not replace him. So now they're trying to replace him with a month ago in the year. So I don't blame this entirely on Dak. I think he can't make the plays he's made in the past that he's used to making, the throws that he's certain are going to be completions and big plays, because he doesn't have enough personnel at wide receiver to accomplish that.
You know, I find that it's really interesting because, I mean, you know, at some point they're either going to get OBJ or they're not going to get him. And you know, some of it's on Dak and maybe some of it is on the front office. That is a theme that comes up, and that's a great lead in to our talk with former Cowboys scout and coach Glenn Stretchsmith. It is time for Stretch Plays.
Stretch, great to visit with you. I, you know, people love kind of hearing your grades. This thing ends up being an enormous blowout. I mean, 54-19, hard to believe that at one point they were trying to tie the score 21-21, you know, late in the third quarter, and it ends up just being completely one-sided score. I would say, you know, the Cowboys continue to have an issue with kind of letting bad teams hang around for a little while. And part of that in the first half was an interception that Dak threw where he's trying to get the ball to Gallup. I just want you to kind of break down for us Dak's kind of entire evening, the parts that worry you a little bit and the parts that you feel pretty good about.
Yeah, here's kind of my take on this, is that right now this quarterback is having a hard time pushing the ball outside the numbers. I'm talking about an NFL field where, you know, the numbers are a little tighter, but tonight you saw Gallup, and again, it's part of the route that he was running, trying to run an inside pivot curl, and the ball was left inside. for an interception. A really, it was not a good throw. It wasn't a good route, but it wasn't a good throw. That two things here concern me. Number one is Dak predetermining where he's going with the football? Because if he is, I mean, Gallup looked uncomfortable running the route, and then he went ahead and tried to stick it in there anyway. The throw that concerns me more is the out that he threw to CD. Now, 3D CD was running a split, you know, had cut his split down, a reduced split and speed out. You cannot leave the ball inside. I don't give a damn what you do. Don't leave the ball inside. It was almost picked. The concern I have is that ball's got to be laid outside. And this quarterback, he struggles laying the ball outside. Now, let me tell you, he's a great seam thrower. When your tight end's running through the seam, CD's running through the seam, I mean, he's a really good seam thrower. The problem is defenses are seeing that. They're starting to shut those windows down. And then when you cannot be accurate pushing the ball outside, to me, that's a problem. And I'm going to tell you, no chance that I'm going to sit here and style point the fact that they blew out the Colts in the fourth quarter. Because for three quarters, they were absolutely in a dogfight in this game.
Yeah.
Guess what? So were the Eagles in a dogfight with the Colts. It's the NFL, and I got it. But I'm going to tell you, I have a real concern with his quarterback and his inaccuracy and his ball placement. It's starting to have a reoccurring theme over and over with me. And so I think it is something he can work out, and I certainly hope that they'll get, and I'm saying they'll, Doug Nussmeier, Kellen Moore, get more exact with where these receivers, where they want them to be, the depths they want them to be at, where they want the football thrown. But again, I go back, and the interception, it bothers me because it was like he predetermined going there with the football. I'm going to say this again. What bothers me more is the fact that you threw a speed out and you left it way inside. That's troublesome for me. And so those are things that they've got to get worked out if they're going to go into the playoffs and get a win, period. Because I promise you, these corners are going to tighten down and they're going to be able to say, you know what, we're going to break on these out-cut balls. And we're going to squeeze the middle of the field on you. And when they do, it's going to become a real problem. I like Dak's leadership ability, but he's got to quit turning the football over. He's got to quit making errant throws. Again, you think about the money they're paying him, that runs up a red flag to me. I'm going to go to the offensive line now, Matt, and I'm going to tell you, I thought the offensive line played really well. And I'm saying they ran Peters in there, son. They moved Smith down inside. I mean, I think this is when you can play a lot of different guys and you can play them in different positions, and then they're saying Tyron's possibly coming back. To me, that gives you so many options to be physical going into a playoff run. Positive. Tight ends, to me, you got four tight ends. You saw the McKeon kid playing some tonight at fullback. I love that look. So, I mean, positive there. Wide receivers did a hell of a job. And I'm saying a hell of a job because I think the most successful that the Cowboys were running the football tonight was, you know, when they were running that toss. And that receiver's cut the split down and cracked that defensive end. They were pulling that tackle out there and having great success with that. I love to see receivers who are not only catching the ball and doing the things with the yards after the catch and the thing that CD did when he kind of landed on the defensive back, got it and stuck it in the end zone. But what I like is blocking on the perimeter and being able to be physical at the line of scrimmage. And to me, that smells of a complete football team. Two running backs who can really run the football. Pollard, who we know what he can do with his speed. Zeke, who can hammer it inside. Receivers are blocking the perimeter. All of those things, awesome. Offensively, a really good game. But I am concerned. And I'm going to say it again. I am concerned about this quarterback in his inaccuracy with the football, that has got to get cleaned up, or they're going to have a real problem moving any distance into the playoffs, which is what all Cowboys fans want to see him do.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about. Gilmore had the one interception, and then 34 almost had one himself on that ball behind the receiver. And it is continues to be an issue. And it sounds like pretty much a lot of A's or A minuses for everybody else, even maybe the running backs. And they ran the ball really well, like you said, especially got out on the perimeter. Pollard continues to – wasn't that interesting to see Pollard get the start tonight? And Jerry afterwards seemed to indicate maybe Zeke was in a little trouble for something. And he was punished by not having the start. But I do think you're seeing a nice complimentary running game. So now over on the defensive side of the ball. Closed great. I just got to visit tonight with Deron Bland, and he's a real pleasure to visit with. Extremely humble guy, but Stretch, on a night when Anthony Brown gets carted off, when I think we continue, when Kelvin Joseph has to come in, I think it's a little bit iffy, right? Bland was, to me, was obviously with the two interceptions, was pretty amazing this evening.
Yeah, you did a great job, and that's what you want to see from your defense. When an offense has to get one-dimensional, Matt, when they've got to throw the ball to get back in the football game, you pin your ears back with your defensive front, your defensive secondary is able to break on the ball, kind of undercut some routes. You did a great job with the two picks. The two guys I'm more impressed with, though, than anybody on the football team right now is the duo of Wilson and Hooker. They can really get after you from a physical standpoint. You saw Wilson hit that blitz on the move, and I mean, he was on Ryan before Ryan ever got to his drop. I love seeing two safeties who are flying around and cutting and slashing and getting after you. Concerns me a little bit. Diggs got beat on the two pump early in the game for the touchdown. People know he likes to play a little bit off, and then he likes to jump those routes, and he got burned. But I think those are all things that end up working themselves out. I tell you what, the guy that's impressing me some, and I think he's getting better as the year goes along, is Vander Esch. We know the job that Clark's doing as a young guy. I love the defensive line and how many guys are rolling in there with Williams and O'Diggy. So all these guys are being able to roll in, and I think that helps the Cowboys. But back to Bland, Matt, when you can get him these live snaps and these live looks in these situations, that helps the secondary. And so I don't like losing Brown, but I'm telling you, the fact that you got Bland in there playing with that type of confidence and the type of ability to undercut routes, to break on footballs, I mean, I'm giving the defense, again, A's all the way around.
All right. And Alec Pierce gave both Brown some issues and Joseph, but you're right, Bland sat on them. And to your point, of course, even in the run game, I thought Parsons did some really good things, and obviously Lawrence did some nice things. Your point about Odigizuwa was a good one on that late fault by scoop and score from Sam Williams. That was Odigizuwa, you know, who came in there and caused that. And I don't know, you know, Coach Saturday's going to have to learn how, when you're getting blown out, you might want to hand the ball off and get on out of town. But that was a feeding frenzy that occurred. And to your point, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Dorrance Armstrong, Odigizuwa. When those guys kind of get on a roll, that's a pretty scary front. And I think while they gave up a few big plays to the Colts, for the most part, that's a quality group that they have right now.
Yeah, and then you say big plays, and they did. They double moved Diggs. they hit a couple of nice screen passes where they, you know, they saw the blitz coming. I mean, Matt Ryan is an experienced quarterback. He's seen a lot of different looks, and so they were able to do that. I mean, you mentioned Parsons, and I thought Parsons had a Parsons-like game. I mean, when I'm looking at guys and I'm trying to grade the rest of the football team, because to me, it's going to take – you're going to have to get some plays to go deep in the playoffs, and that's how I see this football team right now. A team that's going to go need to go deep in the playoffs, you're going to have to get some plays from, you know, the Sam Williams, the O'Diggy Zuas, the Dorrance Armstrongs. I mean, those are the guys that you're going to have to get production from. And to see them give you that production right now, I think leads you to believe that that's where we are. I'm going to finish by saying this, Matt, that I really do believe that if this team is going to get deep in the playoffs, it's going to be on the defensive side of the football. Don't make any mistake about it. The quarterback, he is not great, and he is not going to be able to bring you from a situation where you're 14-17 down. That's not his style. And when Dallas has to throw the ball more than 30 times a game, they got problems. They're going to win, and they're going to be able to win the NFC on the defensive side of the football. You write that down. I don't give a crap who they play. I don't give a crap if that's Tampa. I don't give a rip if it's San Francisco. Philadelphia, stack them up. It's going to fall to the Dallas Cowboys defense if they want to go deep in the playoffs and do something. That's the bottom line. And what you saw them do tonight was say, you know what, we're tired of this tight football game. We're going to pin our ears back. We're going to get some turnovers, and that's exactly what changed the entire scope of what happened in the fourth quarter with them scoring, I think, 33 points in the quarter.
Well, listen, it was really good stuff. I appreciate it, and it's a late night for everyone involved, and I know Frito appreciates it. I did want to say, Stretch, Glenn Stretch Smith, of course, with us. It is, golly, some of these light beers, you've seen it, Stretch. Not much taste, but when it comes to Miller Lite, it's just a different kind of taste, because what's the point of having beer if you can't taste it, okay? I think it's a fair point to make, and nobody feels, when you drink Miller Lite, full-bodied taste without that uncomfortable, heavy feeling. I was thinking about it, Stretch. You and Aikman used to spend some time together. You and some of the Cowboys over the years have been out and about. Is there, like, where was the, was there a favorite, like, dive bar? Or was there any kind of certain place, even maybe close to Valley Ranch, where the Miller Lights would start to flow a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to name places, but there's no doubt about it. We used to go up the hill up there out of MacArthur up towards the country club there, and they had a place where you could go back there and shoot a little pool. I wouldn't call it a dive bar at all, but we'd go back there and partake in a little Miller Lite. And I'll tell you this, you mentioned this earlier, we did the tailgate for Funtown RV, and they had, you'll appreciate this, Matt, they had brisket tacos out there today. It was a little cool outside, but what do you think I washed a couple of those brisket tacos down with?
Oh, my gosh, some Miller Lite.
Oh, and it was, I mean, it was so smooth going down. It was nice. It didn't give you that heavy, full feeling. It didn't give you that feeling of, oh, my gosh, it's like that motor oil that some guys drink where it just sits on you. A little Miller Lite, eased on down, got you a couple brisket tacos. It was a heck of an evening. Then, obviously, the Cowboys, big win. You know what, Mosley? It's time for one more before we call it a night. And I think you ought to go over there and have one in that suite. Go over there and get you a Miller Lite. Let's have a good evening.
Up on the silver level in a suite right now, and there are some things in the fridge there that you certainly could get your hands on. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/doomsday.
All right, that's the name of our podcast. Again, visit MillerLite.com/doomsday. I think that's a forward slash, in fact. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Thank you, Stretch. Have a pleasant evening. And congratulations on a great season for the All Saints Sations. Fourth All Saints with a tremendous season. It ends in a loss in the state title, but know that we were very proud of that team and the entire program out there.
No question, and we got to root the Bearcats in, Matt. We'll talk next week. We'll see you later. They're still alive, the Alito Bearcats, baby.
All right, let's go get them. Let's go get the Longview Lobos. We'll do it. There he goes, Glenn Stretch Smith, as he heads right into Parker County on this evening after a big 54-19 win by the Dallas Cowboys. Live from AT&T Stadium, that was Stretch Plays.
All right, it is Doomsday Podcast, and a couple of things I want to talk about on the defensive end. Ed, I did want to say, we were just talking about Miller Lite, and appreciate Miller Lite being back with us, especially during the holidays. A lot of people loving their Miller Lite, having a great time with it. Great tasting light beer. It's just not something that usually you say about light beers, but Miller Lite certainly does that. Ed, Lakeside Roofing, family-owned full-service roofing company serving the Dallas-Fort Worth area with the highest quality roofing products, paired with the highest quality workmanship. Lakeside Roofing Company. I want to tell you the website. It is lakesideroofco.com. That's lakesideroofco.com. And on Twitter, you can go to @LakesideRoofTX. They do a tremendous job at Lakeside Roofing, and that's why so many people go to them for their roofing needs. And in fact, a lot of the Marable Homes, they say, hey, come in here, Lakeside. We want to use you, and they have a great relationship between them. Ed, it is the defensive performance. You alluded to it. 33 points, a huge fourth quarter, lots of turnovers, scoops and scores. There's always, you're good at all this historical stuff. You know you've done something. I think Malik Hooker had the scoop and score, then had a, did he have, I mean, he did something else.
He had an interception.
Interception.
He had an interception and a scoop and score on a fumble, and the rookie Deron Bland had to come in and play because another big news item out of this game is the Cowboys have lost starting corner Anthony Brown, likely for the season. Jerry Jones saying it was looks like an Achilles tendon injury that will end his year, and they're starting to get thin at corner because they've already lost a corner. Jordan Lewis is already out for the year. So Deron Bland indicated that, you know, with his play, two picks, that he's capable, and we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, Malik Hooker against a team that drafted him in the first round and brought him into the NFL, you know, he was elated talking to him in the locker room after the game about, you know, his contribution in scoring his first touchdown in the NFL. Anthony Barr becomes a 13th different Cowboys defensive player this season to deliver a sack for Dan Quinn. And, oh, the Cowboys, who lead the NFL in sacks, have had multiple sacks in 13 straight games dating back to last season. That's tied their second longest streak since sacks became an official stat in 1963. So that's the kind of impact that Dan Quinn has had, because you remember he took over a defense from Mike Nolan after 1 year that was the worst in franchise history. And now, even by the admission of Dak Prescott, a $40 million quarterback, this team wins on defense. The defense is a dominant phase for this football team.
I totally agree. And they lean on it. And it was just funny because I thought, how can Coach Saturday, coach that a lot of people were concerned about, Colts gave him a job from your network. He was just hanging out on ESPN doing some things with Stephen A. And they said, hey, can you go coach the Colts? He said, sure, I'll come coach him. Played with him for a lot of years. And at some point in a game like that, when it's getting away from you, you got to run the ball and get the game over with. You can't keep dropping back. And if you're going to do that, you might as well put your backup in. I mean, that was kind of ridiculous the way that thing played out, but it was funny. Odighizuwa made a great play, goes in there, causes a fumble. There goes Sam Williams with a scoop and score for a touchdown. The historical thing I was going to bring, Ed, that I saw like on Twitter, or maybe the Cowboys provided this note, or maybe I saw it on your Twitter account that I kind of liked, was the Hooker scoop and score plus the interception. The last Cowboys player to do that in the same game, I believe he had to go back to 1978, Dennis Thurman. And of course, that secondary was known as Thurman's Thieves. And so the old time Cowboys fans love that kind of stuff. And so there's always, it seems like on a weekly basis, there's some kind of historical perspective. But to your point, I got to talk to Deron Bland after the game. I mean, think about this rookie class they've put together. I mean, Bland had two interceptions. One was on like a contested catch, and he ripped it away from the wide receiver. That was the second interception of the game he had. He looked really good. And then this guy, Ed, and in fact, after the game, I started talking to him about my fusion surgery. I had the C1, C2. He had the C3, C4 fusion. And I'm talking about Damon Clark, number 33, the linebacker for the Cowboys. I think even he's kind of shocked that after something that serious and being picked as more of like a future type guy, that he's already having this kind of impact. I think the people that follow college football closely, SEC, know that he was a great player at LSU, but because of the injury, he was kind of put on the back burner. And yet he made some kind of, I'm trying to remember the exact play, but he was in on a couple of like really great plays tonight from his linebacker position. So it's coming from all over the place, but Ed, this is I think you have to say, with what's happening at left tackle, with Bland, with DeMond,
everybody
Clark
but Tolbert,
now.
Everybody but the third round pick, Jalen Tolbert. No, and Sam, like you said, Sam Williams. I mean, you know, I had a coach who it was Matt LaFleur when they were playing Green Bay, and I was going over, you know, some of the Cowboys defensive players with him. And he said, you know, I coached Micah Parsons in the Pro Bowl. And when we were looking at defensive linemen, outside linebackers, I looked at Sam Williams and I was like, God, he really reminds me of somebody. Who does he remind me of? And he goes, oh, my God, it's Micah Parsons. And I told Parsons that after the game. And he said, please, whatever you do, don't tell Sam Williams that coaches are comparing him to me. Like we gotta keep this guy's ego in check. Let's not let him get too crazy with this. But yeah, I mean, you know, Dak Prescott said it earlier this year that to him in the 7 years he's been here, they've drafted well, but this is the best draft class that he's seen. And given their impact on this game tonight and in the season in general, Dak, you know, indicated that Mike McCarthy after the game tonight said, hey, you guys aren't rookies anymore. You know, I mean, You're just veteran players and part of the team, and you know they're going to need, as we said, more plays now out of Bland for example, and Sam Williams seems fully capable. You wouldn't hesitate at all to put him out there, I don't think. But and Tyler Smith's been great.
I should clean that up. I think I said he had a scoop and score. I guess they actually went back and called him down, and that's what allowed our buddy Malik to race in for a touchdown.
Undrafted member of this class.
It's a pretty phenomenal thing that's going on. Okay, Ed, with what's coming up, you mentioned it. I think we're back here next Sunday for Texans. Then the Cowboys go to the Jaguars. And then, of course, we'll be back here for Christmas Eve. That's the only thing, Ed, with me, you know, being credentialed to all these games and them respecting the Doomsday podcast like they do. I have to show up at all of them, even Christmas Eve.
Why would you not want to be here Christmas Eve? I mean, the Eagles and the Cowboys on Christmas Eve for the NFC East. Come on.
It's big. It is big. And I want to get you home that night to the family on Christmas Eve. So what I'm trying to think of is a way, and I want Frito to be with his friends and family. So I'm trying to think of a way we could do it almost like as we're leaving to get race home to our family, we'll figure it out.
When you were talking about getting me home to my family, I thought you were talking about tonight.
Tonight. Tonight's just December, whatever it is, 4th. Nobody cares about tonight. All right, Ed, but yeah, that stretch, interesting stretch. You have two extremely winnable games. You want to keep the heat on the Eagles. What you're hoping is the Eagles stumble and then you're, you know, playing a game on Christmas Eve to possibly try to jump into a tie with them. I do find it kind of interesting that everybody kind of thinks, well, the Eagles, Cowboys, there's no way they're going to win the division. I don't know. You know, stranger things have happened. I don't think the Eagles were invincible, but it is funny how they'll kind of be struggling along, hanging in a game. And then, you know, you're like, oh man, the Titans are challenging them. And then you look at the final score and it's 35-10.
Yeah.
And I guess in some ways that's like what the Cowboys do. They found a way to pull away down the stretch.
I think the Eagles, as they're currently playing, are the better team. Dallas lost up there in a game they made competitive in the fourth quarter with Cooper Rush starting the game. The Cowboys certainly have more talent on the field now. If they have Tyron Smith back, if they have Odell Beckham Jr. in uniform, do those things make a big enough difference? I really just am impressed with all the different ways Philadelphia is able to beat people. You know, the quarterback is exceptional. Jalen Hurts, nobody thought Jalen Hurts was going to be one of the top three quarterbacks in football this year. I thought when the season began, the biggest difference between the Cowboys and the Eagles was the quarterbacks. And I gave that check mark to Dak Prescott. But I don't think you do that right now. They're a more explosive team. They're more dominant up front on their offensive line. Their defense is outstanding, although they have, you know, had a couple. I think their two corners are exceptional. And that's another reason the Cowboys need a third receiver, because Philly's going to shut you down, as they did in that game with Cooper Rush starting. They're going to shut you down with Bradbury and Slay. You know, you need a third guy. And they don't have that right now unless they're going to play with the tight end. And I assume the Eagles are going to get Dallas Goedert, their tight end, back for this game. So I think all things considered right now, the Eagles are the better team. You know, they're 11-1. So I think it's going to be a real challenge for the Cowboys to win the division. And that means then you don't get a first round bye. It means you got to play on the road. And it, you know, it puts Mike McCarthy in a lot of jeopardy if they repeat their failure of last year with, you know, Jerry, especially if Jerry Jones goes all in and buys Odell Beckham Jr. You know, he already thinks this is a Super Bowl team. He's already said that. And now he goes and invests in Odell Beckham Jr. and he gets disappointed in the first round or doesn't get to a championship game again. What happens in the aftermath of that? I think the Cowboys have a lot at risk if they can't catch the Eagles. And I think it's going to be difficult.
You know, as you said that about McCarthy, I looked up here. You know, I'm sitting, you're in our suite. I'm actually out in the Choctaw Club. We're like 20 feet apart as we tape this tonight. And Sean Payton appears to be crying on that Graham Bensinger show. I mean, I've known that guy forever. I've never seen a guy have a longer running show. I mean, it's like longer than Johnny Carson was on. Graham Bensinger. Remember that guy?
I mean, he was child prodigy.
Yeah, he was like a 12-year-old guy. And he's still doing it. I think he's like 45 now. He's like the Ricky Schroeder of sports shows. and I looked up there and Sean Payton was just crying about something. But you said that right as I was thinking about maybe what would happen to McCarthy, who would be the next head coach. But right now they're on a roll. There's no reason to bring that up. And they're doing really well. Ed, good stuff tonight. You know, you're always fresh. You always have great, but for once they didn't have you out here at the break of dawn. So I love that you were able to kind of hit the ground, arrive at kind of a normal hour and just kind of cover the game. Y'all did a great job covering it for ESPN. I appreciate it. Ed, we'll both be back on the scene for the Texans game next Sunday. I believe that's a noon start. Ed,
you're correct.
Could they flex that? I mean, they're always trying to get the Cowboys. Okay. They're always trying to get the Cowboys.
Too late.
All right.
They're lucky they didn't flex him out of this primetime game tonight.
No, the Cowboys are on a roll. They're not flexing them. 2 years ago, they did flex them out of a night game, which was a shocking thing for the Cowboys. But they're on a roll. They're not going to ever flex out of a game. They'll only flex into a night game or into an afternoon game. For Ed Werder and Mark Friedel Friedman, I am Matt Mosley, and we are at AT&T Stadium, and we are saying good night to you. This has been the Doomsday Podcast, and by the next time we visit with you, Odell Beckham Jr. could be on this roster. Everybody have a great evening. We'll talk to you soon. Say good night, Ed.
Good night, Ed.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.